That afternoon, Marshall and Bernice met in his glassed-in cubicle at the Clarion.
Brummel and Young are lying.
Well, according to them, you were seeing things.
Ha!
But I just got another tidbit on Chief Brummel. I had lunch with Sarah, his secretary, today. Guess he's gone for several hours every Tuesday afternoon and never says where, but Sarah knows. Our friend Alf has a girlfriend.
Yeah, Julian Langstrat, psychology prof out at the college.
How did you know?
The blonde woman you saw the night of the carnival, remember? The day after you take pictures of some very unwilling folks at the carnival and then get busted by Brummel's cops. Langstrat's so spring-loaded and wary of reporters that she kicks me out of her lecture when I'm only waiting for my daughter. Add to that the meeting I had this morning with my respected pastor, Oliver Young. He repeatedly denied being anywhere near the carnival, and he also denied knowing Langstrat. But boy, did his ears get red. Which brings us to those two unknowns you saw them with that night. The older pudgy guy and that ghosty black-haired woman.
They must be out-of-towners. I've never seen them before. But listen, I know a prof in the psychology department at Whitmore. He must know this Langstrat. Maybe he could give me some inside stuff on her.
Marshall couldn't shake off the memory of his encounter with the fiery Julian Langstrat, and he hurt more deeply every time he recalled the professor's weird ideas coming at him through the mouth of his own daughter. Facts, Bernie. No gossip, just facts. But yeah, get 'em.
That evening, Sandy came home. A young geology major named Sean Ormsby had found her alone and crying on the Whitmore campus and decided to get involved. He went to Marshall and Kate on her behalf, and with his gentle mediation, the family was reunited. For now, the rift was healed. The following day, while Marshall occupied himself with the next edition of the Clarion, Bernice began gathering information on Julian Langstrat through her contacts at Whitmore College. Soon she had a bundle of material to share with Marshall.
Bernie, you're getting to be a lot of trouble, you know that?
She took that as a real compliment. Have you seen that list of elective courses Langstrat is teaching? I'm sure Sandy knows all about it.
But what in blazes is all this stuff? Introduction to God and Goddess Consciousness, the divinity of man, witch, warlock, how do spells and rituals work? You gotta be kidding.
And just think, VIPs from all over town are having consulting sessions with Langstrat on a regular basis.
Police Chief Brummel, for one.
Every Tuesday, like clockwork. But look at this list of names I got. Two of the college regents, the owner of the college land, the county comptroller, the district judge,
and Oliver Young. Respected, revered, influential, community-conscious Oliver Young. Yeah, I thought he had a religion all his own.
Religion I don't care about. Lies and cover-ups I do.
Well, he lied all right. He told me right to my face he didn't know Langstrat. But what we need now is some corroboration.
Well, there's one other person on this list. Ted Harmel, the former editor of the Ashton Clarion.
And alleged child molester.
Hey, come on. You bought the paper from him. You already know each other.
No, we don't. I took over the paper through Harmel's lawyer. I never saw the guy. He's some kind of weird hermit now, living up near Windsor and not talking to anybody.
Just talk reporter to reporter, editor to editor. I think you could hit it off.
Okay, let's have the number.
Saturday morning, Marshall made the call. Even though he and Ted Harmel were able to talk shop about the paper, news reporting in general, and each other's careers in particular, the conversation took an ugly turn the moment Marshall mentioned the name of Julian Langstrat.
What are you digging for?
Well, she's... Where's she coming from, anyway? Sandy's bringing home some weird ideas.
It's mysticism, witchcraft, you know, higher consciousness.
But why does she meet with important people on a regular basis? People like Alf Brummel, Dolores Pinkston, the college regent, and Eugene Baylor, the college treasurer. I understand you were pretty close to that situation.
No, that's wrong.
But didn't you have sessions with her yourself?
I can't talk about that.
Sure, I understand.
No, you don't understand. Now listen to me. I don't know what you found out, but whatever it is, bury it. Forget Langstrat. Forget anything you may have heard about her.
Oh, yeah, right. How can I possibly leave it alone now?
You have a wife? A daughter? Think about them. Think of yourself. Otherwise, you'll be out on your ear like everybody else. Leave it alone!
Ted Harmel hung up. Leave it alone. In a pig's eye.
The wise old missionary Edith Duster had convictions about Hank's ministry, and she minced no words as she, Hank, and Mary had lunch together in her little apartment.
Henry Bush, your being here is not a mistake. If you weren't supposed to be here, the Lord wouldn't have accomplished the things he has through your ministry.
But Edith, I've been a Christian all my life, and I've never come up against anything like this.
This kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Pastor, we need to pray.
They joined hands as Edith Duster prayed.
Lord God, I build now a hedge around this young couple, and I bind the spirits in Jesus' name.
Rafar's eyes darted toward the sound and saw two swords fallen from their owner's hands. The two demons, formidable warriors, were confused. They stooped hurriedly to gather up their weapons, bowing, apologizing, begging for pardon. Rafar's foot fell on one sword. His own huge sword clamped the other down. The two warriors, startled and terrified, backed away.
Please pardon, my prince. Oh, yes, yes, please pardon. This has never happened before.
Silence, you two.
The two warriors braced themselves for a terrible punishment. But Rafar did not lash out at them. Not yet. He seemed more interested in those fallen swords. He stared at them, his brow furrowed and his big yellow eyes narrowing. He went down on one knee and picked up a sword. In his huge fist, it looked like a toy. He looked at the sword, then at the demon who had dropped it, then off into space, his gnarled face registering a deep, burning hatred.
Tell,
he whispered. Then, like a slowly swelling volcano, he rose to his feet, his anger building until suddenly, with a roar that shook the room and terrified all those present, he exploded and hurled the sword through the basement wall, through the earth around Stewart Hall, through the air, through several other buildings on the college campus, and up into the sky where it tumbled end over end in a long arc of several miles. His initial explosion released, he grabbed the sword's owner and with the order,
"Go after it,"
flung the demon like a spear along the same trajectory. He grabbed up the other sword and flung it at the other demon, who sidestepped just in time to save himself. Then that demon, too, went sailing after his sword. Lucius finally stepped forward and bowed low, much as he hated to do so.
We are at your service, Baal Rifar. Can you tell us, who is this Tal?
Who is this Tal? This warrior, this captain of the hosts of heaven, this sneaking, conniving rival of rivals. Who is this Tal?
Just then, the two warriors returned with their swords. He grabbed both of them and held them up by their wings as an exhibit.
On your feet, all of you.
They complied instantly.
Who is this Tal? He is a strategist who can make warriors drop their swords.
With that, he hurled the two into the group, sending them all sprawling.
Who is this Tal? He is a subtle warrior who knows his limitations, who never enters a battle he cannot win, who knows all too well the power of the saints of God, a lesson you could all stand to learn.
Rafar held his sword in a fist that trembled with rage, waving it about to give extra force to his words.
I knew all too well to expect him. Michael would never have sent anyone less to pit against me. Now Hogan is revived and sniffing after our scent. Now Henry Bush is still retained, and the Ashton Community Church remains as a bastion against us. Now warriors are dropping their swords like clumsy fools. And all because of this Tal.
Rafar turned to a slimy-looking demon of lust and asked,
"Have you laid a trap for Bush?"
"Oh, yes, Baal Rafar."
He looked at the demon's strife.
"What have you done to destroy Marshal Hogan?"
"We are destroying his family. He derives great strength from his wife. If that support were ripped away..."
"Do it! And what about his daughter?"
Deception stepped forward.
"She is already in our hands.